like to take an informal poll. How many of you wear a uniform to work or have worn a uniform to work in the past? Good number of you. These uniforms serve a very important role in identifying who you are in that workplace, in that work setting. I think kind of humorously, when I go to the hospital and I see in the elevator shaft, there's a chart on the elevator wall that shows the different types of scrubs that the hospital staff wears and the different colors and what those colors represent. So in a sense, you can know if you're going, if you are in the hospital and somebody from food services comes carrying a shot, you know you need to ask a few more questions than what otherwise would. These uniforms identify who we are. They identify our role. They're used in many different professions. I kind of wish there were some clergy scrubs because those look very comfortable to show up to work in. Police officers, that identifies them. Something about that uniform represents something bigger than them, an authority with which they carry themselves. If somebody shows up at your door wearing shorts and a t-shirt and says, you know, I kind of forgot my uniform, I forgot my badge, but you are under arrest, so I'd like you to come with me. Again, another one of those situations where you should probably ask a few more questions. These uniforms identify us. They help us to know who we are a part of and maybe an authority with which we carry. Sports teams, of course, wear uniforms to identify themselves on the field or on the court. I think back to when I played basketball in ninth grade, there's one game where it was a very close game when we knew it would be going right to the final buzzer, that game. And it's very close. Our team had the ball, was inbounding, and one of our players grabbed the ball, turned around, made this beautiful shot, and it would have set us ahead had it been in the right, correct basket. Kind of made the wrong basket for the wrong team. Those uniforms identify us with, to help us to know which direction we're going. One team goes one direction, the other team goes the other. The uniforms help to distinguish who's going in which direction. These uniforms help to identify who we are. They help to identify our roles. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, I'm going to invite you to turn there, Ephesians chapter 1. He starts out this letter to the Christians in Ephesus, helping them to identify who they are. It's this beginning with this beautiful prayer, reminding them of who they are. In a sense, reminding them of what uniform they are wearing and to whom they belong. I'm going to invite John to come up and read this passage in Swahili, and then I will read it in English. Looking at the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. This will be Ephesians 1, 15 through 23.
Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Tunakwenda kusoma kama ilivyoandikwa na Paulo, waraka wa Efeso. Paulo mtume kaandika. Paulo mtume wa Kristo Yesu kwa mapenzi ya Mungu kwa watakatifu walioko Efeso wanaomwamini Yesu Kristo, neema na iwe kwenu na amani zitokazo kwa Mungu Baba yetu na kwa Bwana wetu Yesu. Utukuzwe Mungu Baba wa Bwana wetu Yesu Kristo aliye kutubariki kwa baraka zote za rohoni katika ulimwengu wa roho ndani yake Kristo, kama vile alivyo uchagua katika yeye kabla ya kuwekwa misingi ya ulimwengu, ili tuwe watakatifu watu wasio na hatia mbele zake katika pendo. Kwa kuwa alitangulia kutuchagua ili tufanywe wanawe kwa njia ya Yesu Kristo, sawa na urazi wa mapenzi yake, na usifiwe utukufu wa neema yake ambayo ametuneemisha katika huyo mpendwa, katika yeye huyo kwa damu yake tunao ukombozi wetu. Masamaha ya dhambi sawasawa na wingi wa neema yake. Naye alituzidishia hiyo katika hekima yote na ujuzi, akiisha kutujulisha siri ya mapenzi yake sawasawa na urazi wake aliyo kusudia katika yeye huyo, yaani kuleta madaraka ya wakati mkamilifu. Atavijumlisha vitu vyote katika Kristo, vitu vya mbinguni na vitu vya duniani pia. Na katika yeye huyo na ndani yake sisi nasi tulifanywa wa urisi, huku tukichaguliwa tangu awali sawa na kusudi lake yeye, ambaye ufanya mambo yote kwa shauri la mapenzi yake. Nasi katika huyo tupate kuwa sifa ya utukufu wake, sisi tuliotangulia kumwekea Kristo tumaini letu. Nanyi pia katika huyo mmekwisha kulisikia neno la kweli, habari njema za wokovu wenu, tena mmekwisha kumwamini yeye na kutiwa muhuri wa Roho yule wa ahadi aliye mtakatifu, ndiye aliye arabuni ya urisi wetu, ili kuleta ukombozi wa milki yake kuwa sifa ya utukufu wake. 15. Kwa sababu hiyo, mimi nami tangu nilipopata habari za imani yenu katika Bwana Yesu na pendo lenu kwa watakatifu wote, siachi kutoa shukrani kwa ajili yenu, nikiwakumbuka katika sala zangu. Bwana Yesu asifiwe.
Amen. Asante. Ephesians 1:15 through 23. The Apostle Paul writing, "Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, this is the reason that I don't stop giving thanks to God for you when I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that makes God known to you. I pray that the eyes of your heart will have enough light to see what is the hope of God's call, what is the richness of God's glorious inheritance among believers, and what is the overwhelming greatness of God's power that is at work within us believers. This power is confirmed by the energy of God's powerful strength. God's power was at work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and sat him at God's right hand side in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority and power and angelic power, any power that might be named not only now but in the future. God put everything under Christ's feet and made him head of everything in the church, which is his body. His body, the church, is the fullness of Christ who fills everything in every way." Last week, if you remember, we looked at the Apostle Paul talking about his goal, this goal that he was striving towards, a goal that was so high, lofty, and important to him that he was willing to forget everything behind him and focus his attentions on this one goal. He talked about how even the good things in his life, the good things that had led him up to where he was, he considered, as he used the word, sewer trash compared to the surpassing greatness of this one goal. The word for goal that Paul used was an archery term meaning to a target upon which you fix your eye. It's this thing that you're aiming at, this target, this scope that you're focusing on. If you remember, his goal that he was striving towards was to know Christ. And remember the context of which he is writing. He was writing near the end of his life. He had already been on his missionary journeys, imprisoned for his faith, tortured for his faith. He had already been establishing churches in Asia and into Europe. He had already written the bulk of the New Testament. If anyone knew Jesus, it was Paul. But yet he said he hadn't yet attained all that. He hadn't yet reached his end. But he was striving toward that goal of knowing Jesus. There was room to grow, in other words. Paul was aiming his life on that one target of knowing Christ. Here, as he's writing to the Ephesians, he's writing this beautiful prayer of what he would like God to accomplish in their lives. That's interesting. The word for prayer that we see where Jesus uses it in the Gospels and where the Apostle Paul uses it, it's always in this, what's known as the middle voice. It's this way of communicating something that shows us mutual participation. Prayer isn't something we do at God. It's something we do with God. It's this mutual participation between us and God. And Paul is participating with the working of God. In other words, this isn't just Paul's desire for the people. This is God's desire for the people. And Paul is joining in that desire and that expression of the desire. And his prayer was this: that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in order that they may know God. So as Paul had the emphasis of his target that he was aiming at, to know Christ, he's also now praying that his readers would come to this point where the Spirit of God at work within them would give them wisdom and revelation so that they too would be able to focus on this one target, knowing God. We see he expands upon that a little bit and says that probably the best way to word this would be that your eyes have already been enlightened. This is a past action, but it has some present implications for you. Your eyes have been enlightened, and he's praying also that they would be able to be out of that they would be able to see and perceive the hope of God's calling. Secondly, the richness of God's glorious inheritance. And thirdly, the overwhelming greatness of God's power. In other words, as uniforms identify who we are, the Apostle Paul is reminding, right in the beginning of this book, reminding his readers of who they are. They are people who do and can truly know God. They are people who have hope, people of richness, people with greatness, people of hope in the call of God. It's people called by God. It's people with an inheritance, an eternal reward awaiting, and an inheritance even now that we can benefit from. And a people of power. A power that is at work within people. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is at work in our lives. That same power. So as Paul had this target that he was aiming at, he was also reminding his people that they too had the same target, to know God, to enjoy that hope, the richness and the greatness of the call, the inheritance, and the power of God. As we read on in this passage, he also contrasts that with what they are not. Just as uniforms remind people of who they are, they kind of remind people of what they are not as well. It's funny, one time I was in a store that had uniforms. The employees had uniforms, and I was wearing the same color of shirt as their employees. And I was looking in an aisle and looking at some things, and somebody came up to me and asked me, "Can you tell me where such and such is?" And as I turned around, they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you worked here." I said, "I don't, but I know what you're talking about. Come on, I'll show you." And sometimes we're also reminded of what we are not. Actually, over the past couple of weeks, I've also had a reminder of what I am not. Rachel and I started coaching cross country for middle schoolers, and I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to encourage some children to hopefully reach their potential. And a secondary benefit of this, I thought, is this would be a good discipline for me to get back in shape as well, so running with the kids. And a couple weeks ago, we ended the practice with doing some sprints to help build the speed work, and so I was running with the kids as well. And there's one 14-year-old who's just a little bit ahead of me, and another one over my shoulder. And the first sprint we did, that's how we ended. The second time is kind of still following that same pattern. There's one boy ahead of me and one over my shoulder. And I thought, this time I'm getting the one in front of me. And so I really pushed it. And only to realize in the last couple steps, if I didn't know what a hamstring was before, I do now. Because I felt that pull very strongly. It was a reminder of what I am not. I am no longer a teenager. I am a middle-aged man, and I have to admit it. Just as the Apostle Paul started out with reminding the people of who they are, the people known and can know God, people of hope, people with a call, people of the richness of the glorious inheritance, people with greatness, and people with a power that is supernatural at work within them. He also reminded them of what they are not. Again, I'm going to invite John to read a portion of this. This will be chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 of Ephesians. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Tunakwenda kusoma wa Efeso, sura ya pili, verse ya kwanza hadi ya tano. Biblia inasema, nanyi mlikuwa wafu kwa sababu ya makosa ya dhambi zenu, ambazo mlizozitenda zamani kwa kufuata kawaida ya ulimwengu huu na kwa kufuata wafalme wa uweza wa anga, roho yule atendaye kazi sasa katika wana wa kuasi, ambao zamani sisi sote nasi tulienenda katika kati yao katika tamaa ya mwili zetu, tulipo yatimiza mapenzi ya mwili na ya nia, tukawa kwa tabia yetu watoto wa hasira kama nao wengine. Lakini Mungu, kwa kuwa ni mwingi wa rehema, kwa mapenzi yake makuu aliyotupenda, hata wakati ule tulipokuwa wafu kwa sababu ya makosa yetu, alituhusisha pamoja na Kristo, yaani tumeokolewa kwa neema. Bwana Yesu asifiwe sana.
Amen. This is Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. At one time you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to be like that. You used to live like people of this world. You followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted, so that you were children headed for punishment, just like everyone else. As Paul reminded the people of who they are, now he reminds them of what they are not. You used to live like this. You used to be that way. You used to be disobedient. You were once those who followed whatever you wanted to do, but now you're not. Reminding of what they are not. As with Paul's goal, that archery term, that target upon which he is fixing his eye, that scope, that thing that he is aiming his eyes and his life at. Now, there's another archery term that's used here in verse 1. It's used for missing the target, missing the mark. We often translate it as sin, missing the target. There are many ways in which we do this. And when you think of archery, when you think of aiming an arrow at a target, that now, we could be shooting at the wrong target, aiming somewhere way over here, or we could be attempting to reach the target, but in our own way or not without proper training and practice and experience, we might be falling short and just kind of slightly missing that target. There are many ways we get off track. And here Paul was reminding them of these were people who they used to be off track. They used to be aiming at the wrong target. They used to be missing the target altogether. But now they're not. There's something new and unique about these people. Paul then continues on and finishes this little section by then going back to reminding the people of who they are. Verses 4 and 5 of Ephesians 2, he says, "However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace." Paul starts with who we are, the uniform which we are to wear to show who we are. This also represents what we are not. But then he also concludes this little portion by reminding us of who God is, and therefore this is who we are. God is rich in mercy. He is great in love. And because of that, we have been saved. A past action with current implications. Past action that changes things for the way they are now. Who are you? What is that uniform that we wear, spiritually speaking, figuratively speaking? If we have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you are deeply loved. Did you hear that? You are deeply loved. This is who you are. You have been saved. You have the power of God at work within you. That same power that we are going to be celebrating next week as we gather for Easter, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power can be and is, by God's grace and mercy, is at work in your life. Whether we acknowledge it or not, you are a people with great power in you. You have an eternal inheritance from God. Do you know that? Do you accept that? You live in it. You are called by God. God has created you and uniquely designed you. He has called you into the life of a relationship with him and called you with a certain purpose in mind. God has called you. Do you know that? Consequently, you have a hope. You have a great richness. You are great. By the mercy of God. Do you know that? You have a capability to have the Spirit of God at work in you. Not just somewhere out there, but actually deep within your being, the Spirit of God can be at work within you. Did you know that? You don't have to be people who miss the target anymore. You can hit the target with more consistency. In other words, you can know God. These are the realities that the Apostle Paul was affirming in the Ephesians. These are the reality at which he was praying earnestly that the people would realize that this is what it is. Now realize it. You have this hope, you have this richness, you have this power at work. You are called, you are loved, you are shown great mercy. This is your reality. Do you know that? Do you believe that? As we conclude our service, I'm going to invite you to come on up, have a prayerful attitude right now, and be thinking of these truths of who God has designed you to be and who God has made you, and by his rich mercy and grace, who you can become. And as you do, we're reminded as we enter into Holy Week of the great sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Jesus gave up his heavenly throne to come and dwell among us. That alone is an act of sacrifice. But yet he was willing to even become obedient to the point of death and death on a cross for our sake. He was willing to suffer for us. Up in the basket are some nails. These serve as a reminder of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So he's nailed to the cross, willing to give up his all for us. For us to truly live in that grace that God has, to truly live in the truth of who God has made us to be and who we are becoming, there's a point at which we have to give up that which we are not. We are no longer people of disobedience, no longer people missing the target. We have this new life. I'm going to invite you, as Pastor Eric plays to come up and can come up the center aisle, return by the sides. And there are four baskets up here. You can grab a nail. And what I want you to do with this nail is put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, put it in a prominent spot where you'll see it. Or as you reach in your pocket, you'll feel that nail. And when you do, I want you to think about who you are, the greatness that God has shared with us by His grace, His mercy, and the gift on the cross. You may come. May God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know Him. May you see, perceive, and realize the hope of God's call, the richness of God's glorious inheritance, the greatness of that power that is at work within you. May God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you. Mungu awabariki. Amen. You're dismissed.
Are the kids practicing?